Police in Kerala's Maradu have filed a rape case against the actor and ruling CPM MLA M. Mukesh based on a complaint by the fellow actor Minu Munir, who's also accused the actor Jayasurya of sexual harassment. Now, the charges in each case are entirely non-bailable. That's the top story that we are tracking. Joining us now, my colleague Ishika, who's been following this very, very closely. A stunning set of allegations. What are the latest developments today in what seems to be a never-ending series of very, very strong allegations, some going back many years?
Well, yes, certainly, you know, as you mentioned, there were very shocking revelations that came first when the Hema Committee report became public, and one by one, you know, the survivors, they have come forward with their statements, making grave allegations against the Smallwood heavyweights. Now, if we talk about the investigation so far, well, the police has already filed FIRs in this case, around seven FIRs that have been filed. And after that, let me tell you, if we talk about the latest, well, let me tell you that if we talk about sitting MLA Mukesh, there has been a temporary relief for him because the Ernakulam Session Court has in fact stayed his arrest till September 3rd. But on the other hand, we have seen that how the opposition, on the other hand, is amping up the pressure on the Kerala government to take action on Mukesh and ask for his resignation. Today, we saw not just Congress but also BJP holding protests demanding his resignation outside his residence and also outside Chief Minister's residence. Now, if we talk about the other update that is in fact currently going on, let me tell you that in fact a rape complaint was also filed against actor Siddiqui. In this case, in fact, you know, the magistrate, in this magistrate court, the statement of the complainant is still being recorded. Now, the statement was being recorded from 5 p.m. So it has in fact become over 4 hours that the statement is still being recorded here. And if we talk about the update also in that case, let me tell you, the police has in fact verified that on that particular day, for which the allegation was made, the actor Siddiqui in fact was present in that said hotel. The police also said that in fact they are going to continue with this investigation. Now, so far, if we talk about the survivors in the case, they say that they are feeling that the justice is getting delayed, but they are still hopeful that they will at least get justice this time. But
absolutely,
on the other hand,
in fact, we're just going to bring in our panel at this stage, Ishika. Sanjana Galrani, an actress, joins us. Brinda Adige, Sanjay Sahai, K. A. Shaji, they've all been looking at all of these allegations very strongly. Sanjana, let me come to you first. Was this, for so many years, an absolutely open secret that there are predators on the loose and they were getting away with all of this with impunity?
I think predators are in all industries. Right now, this is happening in the film industry, which has a lot of paparazzi. That is why it is coming out. Irrespective of whichever industry a woman works, there are 5, 10, 15, 20% of men who are like this to them. And remaining 70, 80% of any industry remains clean. But I'm glad that there's this entire thing which has come to limelight, because I feel really sad for the women who have gone through this extreme peer pressure. And I think it's about time our country itself, indulges in respecting women more and more, from what we are seeing in the Kolkata murder again. And there should be stringent laws, and there's no solution to this. Like you can see, all the Amma members have completely resigned. And the only solution to this is there should be some new laws which come from the central in the Supreme Court.
No, but Sanjana, let me just try and understand a little bit. You know, on the one hand, you say that predators exist across the board. That's stating a fact. But I'm just curious to understand about how this entire film industry worked. Was it done on the basis of sexually gratifying people in positions of power? Was it done on the basis of women being constantly harassed to fulfill whatever it is these predators sought of them? Is that how this industry worked?
Sadly, it happens to newcomers, because a lot of newcomers, girls who come in at the age of 17 and 18, they come with a burden of not being very educated, not having a lot of exposure about how to handle life, very innocent, and then quit their education, and maybe they have financial troubles, and they give into the entire situation with desperation, and they're taken for a ride, a big ride. So some things like this, of course, do happen with a lot of newcomers. And that's why whenever I meet anyone, I tell them, please finish your education, be a little more mature, be a woman of 24 or a 25 years before you can come into the film industry so that you can handle things. I have also gone through a lot of humiliation in front of the camera for one of my roles. When I was really young, I was 17, I was 18. And then I was told, if you don't listen to whatever is happening and if you don't abide by what has to be done in front of the camera for this particular film, you will be a non-disciplined actor and you will not get worked in future. This has happened to me in one of the films.
No, but could you tell us more, if you can? I mean, unless it's something that's very private and difficult for you. Are you saying that you were sexually harassed?
In a way, but I was forced to do things in front of the camera for the film, which was not a part of the agreement. There were certain glamorous scenes which were definitely not a part of the agreement. But then they're like, after I've signed the film, I'm shooting abroad. And they were like, just do it because the film has to be a hit.
And when you said that you were uncomfortable with that, what happened?
Sorry?
When you said that you were uncomfortable with that, what happened?
I was under pressure. I was 17. I was not even 18.
And you were forced to carry out and do this scene because you were under pressure. And, you know, I mean, despite the fact that you were uncomfortable.
I didn't know how to defend myself. I was too young. I was scared. And then I was told that you'll be banned in the industry if you don't listen to the director. If you're not an obedient artist. So I was like, oh my God, is it? And then I'll not have a career. I'll not have a life. I never thought beyond it at that point of time because I was not capable of thinking beyond it. But everything that happened with me was in front of the camera. It's not that somebody came and gushed into my room or anything like that. And I spoke about this even earlier, a couple of years back, and I had a huge backlash about it. But however, what has really happened with me has happened with me, and that's the truth.
You know, it's very courageous of you to talk about it right now. And when you say that, you know, you've had a flashback of what happened, is this something that's haunted you about what you've had to endure when you were much younger?
It has haunted me. It has haunted me all my life. And people judge me with that particular role because it was a very bold role. And people, even now, they told me saying, oh, haven't you seen that film of hers? That was such a bold film. You know, she's just acted so boldly in that film. There were such bold scenes in that film. And this is how she is. It even haunts me today. But I just take it with a smile, you know. Some things have to happen and some things cannot be changed. I cannot go back in the past, like 15, 16 years back, whatever has happened with me, to undo things. And I just accept it with a smile. Life is about moving on.
Sanjana, let me ask you this. What you had to endure is painful enough. But were you aware of what was happening around you, what the HEMA committee report has actually referred to as, you know, casting couch being a troubling reality, sexual favors demanded in exchange for job opportunities?
I have seen things happening around me. I worked in 55 films and 2-3 films I have seen. I have observed that women of B tier and C tier who come in. When I tell you B tier and C tier, which means like supporting artists in the film who have come for smaller roles, who are just working on daily wages of 500 or 700 bucks. Or junior artists for that reason. Their payment is withheld, you know, in the evening at around 5, 6 o'clock. Now nobody works for 500, 600. Now it's all become 1500 or 2000 rupees. But in the evening before their payment is cleared, it'll be the last payment to go out. And they'll be like, why don't you wait for some more time in the location? And that woman would be really uneasy to be waiting for her money. And I don't know, it's a very fishy vibe. I've seen it in 2 or 3 of the films that I've worked in. But even after seeing it, you cannot do much about it. You just behave like you're going unseen about it because you never know. Maybe the woman itself is flexible and you don't want to be an activist saying, okay, I will protect you over there and get a slap on your face saying when they both are fine with each other, when the man is fine with the way the woman is being treated and the woman is ready at the receiving end, what is my role over there? So even if I see certain things like this, I would behave like, okay, I haven't seen anything and I would move off by just sitting in my own car and minding my own business and leaving the location.
K. Shahji, and Sanjana, thank you so much for having the courage in telling us about this and coming, you know, in front of the camera and describing the ordeal that you've had to go through. It needs a great deal of courage. But,
you know,
Mr. Shahji, could you tell us a little bit about, you know, the moment now where you've got more than 17 cases which have been registered in connection with sexual harassment? You've had this AMMA, the Association of Malayalam Movie Actors, Artists, being disbanded. Do you believe that this is going to result in a cleanup, or do you believe that this is just a temporary step and that the dirt which exists will continue to exist?
Yeah, definitely. Before going into the details of the current developments, we have to go back to 7 years before to a particular incident in which an actress was raped on a moving vehicle in Kochi. That was happened during the daytime and it shocked the entire Kerala. And in continuation of that untoward incident, the Kerala government has formed the Khema Commission. Initially, it was a commission with judicial powers. That was the impression the government was giving to the public. Later, its character has changed. It reduced to the level of a committee. And the committee given its report 5 years ago. And the government, the left government of Kerala, has kept as a secret till the last week when the Information Commission of the Kerala decided, single-handedly decided to release the content of the report, expunging all the controversial or personal kind of information. And then there was a legal tussle. Two different people with proven vested interest, they went to the High Court and they tried to disrupt the release of the report. So it was a long history of the struggle by a set of women, a set of actresses in Malayalam, the collective of Malayalam film actresses. That was the first of its kind unity across India. And the present development, you mentioned about the number of cases registered so far, it is the ultimate result of the persistence of these women in the film field. Also, the actors who are subjected to rape inside a moving car. So their courage, their resilience, and their ability to stick to whatever they said 7 years ago, and their continued persistence, that have prompted the Information Commission to release this report. Then after this Pandora box, now we are witnessing. And now, a number of important personalities who were still associated with AMMA, this Association of Malayali Movie Artists, they are facing very serious sexual harassment charges at one level. And another level, the state government itself is facing the allegation of protecting powerful, influential persons in the list of the accused, especially Mugesh, who is not only a film actor, but also a sitting member.
Okay, Mr. Shahji, just hold your thought for one moment. I want to bring in Sanjay Sahai, a former Director General of Police. Mr. Sahai, in so many cases, when the entire Me Too struggle broke out, not just in India, but around the world, proving cases in a court of law is almost impossible. The evidence sketchy. It's one person's word against another. We've got this outpouring of people now saying that, look, something terrible has happened to me in the past. But in a court of law or for the police, how difficult is it to prove any of this?
No, it is not a question of one person's version or one person's opinion or statement against the other. I think the amount of legwork which the Women in Cinema Collective and the HEMA Committee has done is out of the world. And that 298-page report, out of which 55 pages have been redacted, I think those 55 pages have much more of information than what is already available. So every incident is narrated and each of these actresses or the victims or the survivors, so they are coming forth and giving complete details of it. So one is the statement part of it, which you can call opinion. It is not opinion. It is substantiated by literally every single piece of evidence which you are looking for. And even today, if this couple of evidence is not available, I think that can be taken care. You take the 2017 assault case itself, and Dilip continued to be, I think, on the run or whichever manner, he was not caught by the police. But over a period of time, he was taken to book. So my understanding is, with the huge amount of legwork which has been done by the WCC and the HEMA committee, which also had one actress, and there was a retired IS officer, and the detailing to which they have gone, the current report which is available to us, or of whatever is available to us, if you add those 50-55 pages of redacted stuff, and over that all the material which they have gathered, I think it would be not a great thing to reach a conclusion or to provide both circumstantial evidence, your normal witnesses, and large amount of even technical information, technical data, technical evidence, whatever you call it, in the public domain, what we call as the open source intelligence. There's a large amount of data available. The way these people were getting trolled and the way people have acted, I think if the investigation is done properly, yep, I think we'll be able to reach that level of evidence, which would be sufficient enough.
That's an interesting point. And Brinda, that was in fact my question to you. Do you believe on the basis of this report, and let's use the word landmark in describing this report, it is very extensive. There is enough burden of guilt on people who have been named over there for serious prosecution to take place?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because it began as a judicial exercise. It began with all the right officers and officials in that inquiry. Of course, it got a bit diluted later on, but the exercise that was done and is there in front of us, or rather the report that is there, is enough for judicial action. Of course, there must be due process of law. So FIRs are being registered. And the next course of action is to question and take statements from all of the predators. And some predators are threatening to say they are going to court, maligning character, all of that they have every right to do. But nothing stops our judiciary. Nothing stops the courts from taking action based on this. Of course, if they want another deposition before the court, I'm sure all of the victim survivors will come forward. But when we continuously say that you're talking about fast track court and a judicial officer and a justice of that rank has made all of these depositions, the court must not go again and again questioning the statements or the depositions of the victim survivors. They
you
should
know what,
be able
Brinda,
to
what
only
really, what I find most disturbing, or one of the things I find most disturbing, is the impunity with which people in 2017 or 2016, 2017 onwards were doing this. You know, we've all spoken about Nirbhaya. We've all spoken about, you know, how this culture of sexism has to change. We've spoken about the rights of women. We've spoken about new laws. India has some of the best laws in the world. And yet, educated people, producers, filmmakers, MLAs, allegedly, you know, they were part of this entire culture where they just felt that they could get away with it. So what do we do over here? We just keep talking and nobody listens. It's just, and it's 2017, just a few years back.
Impunity continues even today. It hasn't reduced. We haven't seen any kind of lesser degree of people doing it. The impunity continues. Now, what is more terrifying, scary, and very, very sad is our courts have not bucked up. Our courts have not come forward and said that this is a serious, heinous crime. I'm not talking about the Justice Hema Committee itself, but I'm talking about rape, sexual assault, sexual abuse, and harassment that we go ahead with the laws that are there. Like you mentioned, we have stringent laws. There is no problem with our laws just now. Of course, we can make it better, but everything said and done. Now, everything lies with the prosecution and the judiciary and fast tracking of this. If a committee has taken 7 years, if the next court also is going to take another 7 years, then everything is lost. I don't really believe that they have excuses, they make the excuses that they make should be valid at all, should be considered at all. It is time for our courts to buck up. It's time for our courts to say, yes, there has been substantial exercise that has been done. We have evidence before us. Maybe there are a few gaps here and there that we want them to talk or depose before the court. We will take action because the police have gone ahead and registered. If there was no material, the police would not have filed that FIR because they have to now file the charge sheet and produce it before the court.
Right.
So it is very important for judicial activism, especially in such cases, because we are seeing increasing such cases and India is almost becoming rape country, and that is not necessary.
No, absolutely. But Mr. Sahai, let me come back to you.
And expert,
sure, Brinda, hold on for 1 second. Mr. Sahai, you know, the reason I say that it might be difficult to prove, if you just look at the latest case against the CPM or allegations against the CPM MLA, M. Mukesh, it is a case of one person's word against the other. He has serious charges of, there's a rape case which has been filed against him. But in his response, he says that the person who's been making these allegations has asked him for 1 lakh rupees in the past. He's not ready to surrender. In other words, that he is being blackmailed in this entire case. And there are so many of these cases. So, you know, from a police standpoint, doesn't this get difficult to prove?
No, that does not dilute the case in any manner whatsoever. And it is not the job of the police to go behind the accused and take his statement. Unfortunately, they have been given a long rope as far as the social media is concerned. And they also get good amount of coverage in other forms of media as well. If we take whatever complaint has been given, police is not out of its mind to register a rape case just like that. So that's point number one. Point number two, that the HEMA committee, I think the amount of legwork they have done in this particular case, and I keep on repeating that while I was preparing for this particular panel discussion, is huge amount of work. If we add to that technical evidence, I think there are lots of things which will come from the call data record. There will be lots of things which can come from CCTVs, in hotels, in shooting places, and there are lots of other small gaps which can be filled up. And what Brinda was saying, that the evidence which is garnered is primarily a judicial level evidence. And the whole gamut of work or the frame of work which has been provided to SIT, whether it is a preliminary inquiry into sexual harassment or they are mandated to take each of these 17 cases which have been registered so far within a timeline of 15 days to 1 month, charge sheet each of these cases after correct judicial scrutiny. By judicial scrutiny, I mean the prosecution officers of the government, they need to scrutinize.
Right.
And if need be, there can be special prosecutors to take it forward. I think this is a close and shut case to best of my understanding, and good amount of evidence is available. If we look for more evidence in cases of this nature, it will be next to impossible. And most of the survivors, I think they are still in a frame of mind to battle it out. And WCC has both the gumption, the guts, the legal capability. I was going through what this particular organization has done. It is outrightly commendable. And they are ready to provide all the support required for the victims. So presently, I think it might be the first time in the history of this country where civil society, some arm of judiciary, the police, the government, everybody is coming together. And delay has not been on the part of the judicial committee. The report was actually submitted in 2019.
All right. So there is a lot for us to actually look forward to in terms of justice in this case. Mr. Sai, hold on for one sec. I'm running out of time. I want to go back to Sanjana, you know, who spoke so passionately in the beginning of this program. Sanjana, could you just tell us a little bit about the stigma and the embarrassment that so many actors like you have had to face? Because according to the report itself, there were some who were considered non-cooperating actresses and others considered cooperating actresses. Two classes over there based on how they would gratify these male producers. Is that what it was?
It's not exactly like that. But yeah, in a way, if you look at it, if in case you happen to open your mouth, your career is seriously at stake. And these girls who have come out so boldly in Mollywood, in the Malayalam film industry, I really doubt if they'll have any career ahead of them. Because at the end of the day, let's face it, good men or bad men, it is a male-dominant industry. And any man will look at you as a threat to work with. It might be a clean man or a non-clean man. They would be like, no, this girl got into this controversy and spoke out very, very boldly. So working with her, maybe she'll have the same kind of allegations on me as well. And I'll get into serious trouble in my personal life and in my career. So let's just not work with her at all anymore. And any which ways in film industry, the competition is so high and there's a fear of replacement every single day. There's so many people who want to get an opportunity somehow and get in front of the camera. So their careers are definitely going to be like completely over in a way. But I hope on the other side that the forthcoming new generations who are going to come into the industry, at least they will not get molested or they will not get harassed. And the entire effort of these women putting their respect on the pedestal, putting their career at stake will not go waste.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much once again, Sanjana, for, you know, speaking up and telling us a little bit about the trauma which you had to go through. Also, what you've seen in the industry around you. And Mr. Sahay, deeply encouraged by the fact that you believe that there will be justice in this case. We'll take a short break.